Importance of Fear is a horror fiction podcast which is intended for mature audiences. Discretion is advised. Welcome, Fearlings, to another weird and horrifying tale made just for you. I am your host, Mashulu, and I'll be your guide into the macabre and mysterious. Today, our story is set in the distant future. Let us learn that horrors lurk deep in space in Dead Comms. Before we get started, take a moment to like, subscribe, and ring that notification bell so you don't miss a single terrifying story. Peter woke up from hyperspace disoriented. The cryotube slowed his vitals to a point that you would have thought he was dead at first glance. He worked on the salvage freight gantry. It wasn't really his ship, though. It was owned by Milky Way Freight, an interstellar shipping and salvage company based in the Alpha Centauri system. They were a multi-quadrillion dollar company with over 1 million employees. Peter was just one in a sea of workers. He felt a hard shake from Clutch. Wake up already, lazy. It's time to make some credits and dream about multi-titted aliens. Clutch was 7 feet tall and 5 feet wide, with one cyber eye and arm and at least 3 chips in his head. All right. Where are we? Peter sat up. His cyber leg was still booting up and syncing with his neural net chips. Peter lost his leg 3 jobs before when a hatch slammed shut on him. The gantry was riddled with problems that Milky Way Freight had noted and forgotten. It wasn't worth their time to fix. Instead, employees were patched up and sent back out. They did get 7,000 credits in compensation, the amount they agreed in case of severed limbs. There's a rumor that they take the limbs and a chef cooks them up for the top brass, but these kind of cannibal rich people stories have been around forever. Peter was 5'1" and very skinny. He was what was known in the industry as a rat. He was able to crawl into very small spaces, and this came in handy when surveying derelict ships. He wore a beard to cover his baby face and had solid black eyes. His skin was dark brownish green, but he could change it to camouflage himself. His new leg was metal and used lights to disappear, which meant he could still hide if he needed to. His hair was very short and kinky, just like his dad's. He was born on Alsof, a planet 10 parsecs from Earth, to a human father from Kenya, Africa, and an Alsof mother from Kirun. Being a salvage rat was not what his parents raised him to be, but it was easy credit, and he got to be in space without much responsibility. "Who's on the job with us?" Peter asked as he jumped out of the cryotube and started to suit up. Clutch, who moved like a refrigerator on wheels, thought for a moment. "Jade is out sick. Woke up with a brain bug. They've got to fish the little sucker out. There's a dance card I wouldn't want to be on. Would you just tell me who is with us? Sorry. My chips are giving me a hell of a headache." "I understand. Okay, fast and dirty. Tilly, myself, of course, your surly butt, and Helen." "No, please, not Helen." Peter grabbed a bottle from below his tube and threw back an uncounted amount of pills. "I don't make the roster, my friend. You should have never tried to kiss her. She is 1,000,000 parsecs out of your system," Clutch said with a sadistic smile. "I thought she was flirting with me. I misread the signals. I didn't grow up on Earth, and my dad never said anything about the mating rituals there." Peter slouched down. "Alsof's made in public. I made a fool of myself in front of everyone." "Yes, you did. And it was recorded and sent out over company network as a PSA about sexual harassment." Clutch started to laugh. "Thanks for filming that, you jerk. I'm your best friend. It was my duty. But did you have to send it to HR? "Yeah. Peter and Clutch made their way down to the briefing room. It was packed with 80 people, all ready to start pulling the USS Constell apart. Peter and Clutch stood against the back wall. Captain Sarah Yalom barked out, "All right, people, you already got the job read out for this operation. This is our first job in the Banton Cluster, so all safety protocols for new sectors are in effect. We have no idea how the USS Constell got out here. It went missing 5 years ago, and as you know, that means it's free to salvage. The theory on how it got here goes that it fell into an unstable wormhole, but that's just a guess. The ship has been scanned and no signs of life have been found, but we all know how reliable the gantry computer is, so..." "Clutch, where are you?" "Here, Captain." Clutch raised his hand. How the captain couldn't see someone as huge as Clutch was a mystery to Peter. "Make sure that before your team comes back, you do all your decontamination twice. I don't want any surprises." "Yes, Captain," he replied. Clutch was crude. His mind was always on women, weed, and beer, but he respected the chain of command. Suck up, Peter whispered. Okay, people, it will take the recon crew several hours to sweep the ship and return with a game plan for salvage. In the meantime, the gantry has a million things that need to be fixed. So report to engineering and they'll tell you what you will be working on while we wait. Any questions? No? Good. Clutch, Peter, Tilly, and Helen, I'll meet you at the shuttle before you go. Not 5 minutes later, they all stood in the docking bay in front of the shuttle. Helen was tall and filled a spacesuit in a way that made Peter's skin want to turn red. She had no visible cyberware. Her blue hair was long but shaved on the sides, and her lips were thick and always had some shade of red or purple lipstick on them. She had brain implants like everyone else, but she paid good money to make sure no one could see them. She was smart, sexy, and would look everyone straight in the eye when she talked. She was amazing. Suddenly, Peter got a brain text from Tilly. Stop staring at Helen, you idiot, or you'll get in trouble again. He put his view forward onto the captain, who was still talking. Protocol, be careful, blah, blah, blah. He just wanted to get on with it. I can't help it. She's amazing, he texted back. I know. Her farts even smell like fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies, Tilly replied. Really? No, moron. You can't be this stupid. F you. He loved Tilly like a sister you only want to see once a year. Tilly was 5'9" and 100% human. Well, 99% if you count the comms chip. Earth had started a program of biomods after deciding that cyber upgrades were too dangerous. Other worlds did not have this restriction, so cybertech advanced everywhere else and was banned on Earth. Being a biomod human in a sea of cybertech mixed species people made Tilly an oddity, but her sharp wit and skills as a doctor made her well-liked by everyone. She was the only person on the ship that had to have a comms chip inserted into her brain as an adult. Look, if you're that horny, I'll blow you right here. That's how you like it, right? In front of everyone and God? Are you making fun of my people's mating rituals? Yes. That's racist. I should report you for the damage you've done to my people. I think you've done enough damage to your people, Slick. Also, we're both black, so at best I'm being a bigot. I hate you. Now who's being racist? She replied. Peter and Tilly, stop texting each other while I'm trying to brief you on this job. Peter, I can see your lips moving while you mentally type out each word. Sorry, ma'am. Peter was staring at his crush, Helen, again, and I was advising him that he was an idiot and should focus on you. I wasn't staring, Peter protested. You were. We all saw it. Now, will the two of you shut up? Helen just stood there looking at the captain, never looking at Peter. He wanted to jump out of the airlock at that point. She hadn't said anything to him since the incident. She also hadn't filed a complaint either. The only reason HR found out was Clutch's stupid video. Maybe an awkward kiss wasn't as big of a deal to her as it was to Pam in HR. They all piled into the shuttle and made their way over to the Constel. The docking went smoothly, and the ship seemed like it was in good repair for something that was swallowed by a wormhole and spit out across the Milky Way. They all got out their scanners and started to send data back to the gantry. All that lit the corridor in front of them were their personal lights. What was the crew count on this ship? Asked Helen. Over 3,000, Clutch responded. This is a floating graveyard, Tilly said. They all are really, replied Peter. True, but the highest death toll I've ever seen is like 175. Does it bug you, Tilly? Helen asked. It's a bit unsettling for sure. You'd think after all this time doing space work, I'd be used to the danger. But I'm not, Tilly admitted. We need to get to the bridge and see if we can get the systems back online. It would be great to just fire her up and ride her back home, Peter said. Clutch chuckled. Clutch, stop it, chided Tilly. Sorry. They made their way deep into the ship, checking rooms as they went. Every room was empty. Where the hell is everyone? Peter asked. It's a big ship. Maybe they're on the bridge, or if there was a hull breach, sucked out into space somewhere, Clutch replied. They finally made it to the bridge. Helen tried the door, but it was sealed. I think the hull breach theory is a good one. Why else would the bridge doors be sealed? She said. Yeah, Peter, you're up. Go through the wiring ducts and see if you can get into the bridge, Clutch said, pointing a light at the access point in the ceiling. Okay, here we go, he replied. Now, Helen, watch how well he can fit into small spaces. Clutch, why? Tilly said. Leave him alone. It was just a misunderstanding. Also, Clutch, that was gross, Helen responded. Peter smiled and disengaged his gravity boots to reach the access point. Clutch looked sheepish. "Sorry," he said to Helen. In no time, Peter was in the wiring tubes. It was a tight fit, but there had to be enough space for an engineer to get around in for fixes. He made his way to the bridge and opened the hatch. "Guys, we have an issue." There was no response. "Guys, can you read me?" The radio lit up with a garbled sound, but nothing else. He tried reaching Tilly with a brain text, but it wasn't going through. He looked back into the bridge below. There was a glowing white orb about the size of a beach ball floating in the center of the room. All around it were different shadows with bodies of people trying to reach the orb, but they were all frozen in place. He stared into the light for a few minutes and then decided the best thing to do was to back out and inform the others. Peter jumped down out of the duct to find Helen standing there alone. "How'd it go?" she asked. Her comms were fine. "There's a strange glowing orb in there. Where's everyone else?" "What do you mean?" "It's just you and I, champ," she replied. "No. Tilly and Clutch were with us as well, remember?" stated Peter. "Who? Okay, something's wrong. You don't know who I'm talking about? We should contact the ship." "Did you hit your head, baby? We are here on our honeymoon. We bought the derelict ship package. Come on, we have to find a way into engineering before the ship explodes." She took his arm to lead him away from the bridge, but Peter just stood there stunned. "Look, we only have 30 minutes left, babe, before we lose. I don't want to lose." Peter took off running to the shuttle to find it wasn't there. Helen was right behind him. Instead of a shuttle bay, there was a lobby with a huge window showing the Earth down below. It was massive, beautiful, and very blue. He'd never seen it this big. There was a desk with a short woman with gray hair sitting behind it. "Sir, the game is back the way you came," she said in a dull voice. "What is this place?" Peter asked. "Honey, you're scaring me." This wasn't his Helen. Sure, she looked the same, but something was off. She took his hand again. "We only have 30 minutes, babe. Time is ticking." The final word in the sentence trailed off as if he was falling down a hole away from her. Everything went blurry. "Peter, wake up, man. You okay?" It was Clutch's voice. Peter's vision focused on him. "I'm fine, I think." Peter felt every cell in his body. "We had to pull you out of the tube. You passed out," Tilly said, looking down at him with concerned eyes. "Here, get up." Helen reached her hand down to help him to his feet. "Thanks. There's some kind of white shining orb in there. Around are several human shadows that look like they're trying to make their way to it." "I think we should tell the captain," insisted Peter. They called the captain and filled her in on the details. "If this orb is contained in the bridge, then we'll salvage the rest of the ship. I can't go back with nothing." "What happened to high safety protocol?" asked Peter. "That's just word salad to make the new people feel like the company cares. You all know the truth. Look, get into engineering and get the power cells. Then I'll send 20 people to take apart the engine. That should be enough to satisfy the powers that be. Captain out." "This is crazy. Why are we risking our lives for 3-year-old power cells?" Peter was angry. He could feel something was wrong and no one was taking him seriously. "Clutch, you know I like credits as much as the next guy, but we need to get out of here." He turned around to look at the others, and he found himself in a long tunnel. One end was lit, the other was blackness. He no longer had his suit on, but seemed to be able to breathe. "What the hell is this?" he thought. Taking off towards the light, he figured there might be something or someone there. He started to walk and walk and walk. As he got closer to the light, he didn't notice that he was aging. The light never seemed to get closer. Then, a shadow cast towards him appeared. It was someone running. It took a moment, but suddenly Tilly appeared in her suit covered in sweat and she ran right past him. He looked to see what she was running from. The light was expanding suddenly and was very close to overwhelming him. He turned and started to run as well, but his body was stiff from the rapid aging. Going the opposite way towards the darkness was de-aging him, but not as fast as the light was moving. Before he knew it, he was engulfed. "Peter, Peter!" He woke up again, this time in the engine room. Clutch was over him. One of his arms was badly wounded. "Shh!" Clutch put his finger to his lip. Then he pointed across the room. There was a creature huge and amorphous. It was absorbing Tilly's corpse into its soft purple exterior. Peter was about to scream when Clutch put his hand over his mouth. "Need to camouflage yourself and wait while I lure it away," he whispered. "That's insane! We both need to get out of here. Where's Helen?" "Helen? She's back on the ship. That knock on the head really messed you up. We were sent here to kill this thing. It's not..." And right then, a pink slime-covered appendage fell on top of Clutch's head, covering it. Peter could tell he was trying to scream. Within a few moments, his helmet and then his entire suit were engulfed. He was stripped to the bone. Peter was staring into his friend's skull. The creature started to move towards him. He got up to run and felt reality shift again. He was outside the bridge with everyone else. "You okay? You blanked out there for a moment." Peter let out a long string of swear words. He ran as fast as he could, trying to make it to the shuttle bay. He didn't even know what reality he was in. Did Helen hate him here? Was his dad still alive? All he knew was that the one constant was this ship. Right as he got to the shuttle bay doors, he felt time-space shift around him. It was intoxicating. He was in Helen's embrace. She was on top of him while they made love. Time had slowed down. The echoes of their love created shifting waves of energy. Then he found Helen in his arms, lying in a black void. She ran her hand across his chest. "Why are you trying to leave?" she whispered in his ear. "You're not Helen, are you?" His heart sank. "Of course I am, love." "I have to get off this ship," Peter said while trying to escape Helen's grasp. Reality shifted again, and Peter was in a chapel on the ship. This was a room he'd never been in. Tilly lay in a silver coffin, discolored and decayed. Peter stood just a foot away. There were faceless, black-robed mourners in the pews behind him. Suddenly, she sat up. Her jaw was barely holding on, and she only had one dead gray eye. "If you give in, I won't kill you like the others." "What the hell are you?" "I'm Constal." "The ship? You're the goddamn ship," he yelled. He turned around and ran as fast as he could. The floor started to fall behind him. When the shift occurred this time, he realized Constal had put him near the escape pods. "I don't know how the ship controls space-time, but I bet it can't shift reality beyond its hull. At least, I think. I may only have a few minutes." He jumped into the first escape pod and hit the launch button. Not strapped in, he bounced all over the inside of the pod as it rocketed away from the USS Constal. His ribs and right arm were broken. Blood ran from his nose, and he got a cut on his head. He may have blacked out. He wasn't sure. He went to the window. He could make out the gantry and the USS Constal floating in space, just like he had left them. He couldn't tell how far away they were. "Escape pod, do you read me? This is the gantry. What is your status?" the voice went out over the comms. Peter quickly pushed the button. "This is Peter. Tell the captain not to send anyone else to the USS Constal. I repeat, do not send..." The shockwave created by the gantry's explosion rocked the small pod, pushing it further away from the Constal. "No!" Peter fell to the floor and started crying. There was no hope now. All his friends and co-workers were dead, and he would just float in this pod forever. "I wasn't smart enough to save anyone. What have I done?" After some time, Peter sent a warning out on all subspace channels.
"My name is Peter Welks, and I served on the gantry. The gantry was a salvage-class ship that worked the outer rim of the Milky Way some 25,000 light-years from Earth. If you have found this video, stay away from the derelict ship USS Constal in Sector 8662 of the Banton Cluster. I repeat, do not approach. End transmission."
I feel for Peter. I can't imagine floating in space till you died. Every moment hoping for a miracle rescue that deep down you know won't come. Would you ever brave space? Be sure to tell us in the comments. If you liked this Portents of Fear tale, consider joining our Patreon. There's a link in the description below. Want more horrific stories? Click on one of our other episodes on your screen right now. Good night, fearlings. Sleep well, if you can.